Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio. This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. When San Antonians head to the polls for the November 5th general election, they're going to be deciding president, U.S. Senator, all these other representatives. They're also going to be asked to decide about changes to the San Antonio City Charter. There are six finalized proposed city charter amendments that will change how the city council and the city manager operate, how much they're paid, and other changes to the way city operates. And we're joined by Texas Public Radio City Hall reporter Josh Peck to help us understand what is on the ballot, what are these charter changes. And we are opening up the phone lines. We want to hear what you have to think about paying the city council members more, also the what's going on with the city manager, extending the tenure for city council members, allowing city council city employees for political activity. What are your thoughts? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Tell us what you think about these charters. How will you vote? And so, Josh Peck, how did we get here? How do these charter proposed changes come about?
Yeah, so this all started with the mayor, Ron Nirenberg, setting forth the Charter Review Commission last year. He set up this commission, has all these members on it, and gave them a charge. He wanted them to look at these certain issues, including council pay, including term length, all these things. And over the course of several months, they deliberated, they discussed, they had private sessions and also public sessions where many members of the public came out to comments that actually did make substantive changes to the recommendations. They brought those recommendations to council just recently, and then council last week voted on what's going to be actually on the ballot in November.
So I think the item that's going to get the most attention is the council pay. So that would be Proposition C. Well, what are they looking for pay? That's city manager pay.
Yeah, proposition. So, this would be Proposition E for city council.
I'm already confused by what's going on over there.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot. There are six of them, you know, A through F. And so, yeah, Proposition E, which would give council members and the mayor about a $30,000 raise each if approved by voters. It would pay council members $70,200 and the mayor $87,800. And these figures have been contested for sure. You know, there's a higher number from the Charter Review Commission when they first presented it to council. Then it was lowered. Then it was raised again slightly. And these numbers are intended to be aligned with what the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development says is the average median income for a San Antonio family of four. So the mayor's salary is 100% of that income, and the council member's salary is 80% of that average median income.
So when they first proposed raising the council's salary, I remember when they were getting paid practically nothing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago. It was in 2015 or something. We had an election. We did raise it to something that was recognizable as a salary. Yeah. And we were promised at the time that the council members, that they would be full-time city council members if we paid them full-time wages. And is that happening? Are they all like basically full-time city council members now?
I'd say that is largely true. And what you heard from council members on the dais is that, you know, they're putting in 40 to 60 hours a week on this job. Now, you did see some jabs thrown kind of anonymously at some people are missing meetings. That's been a point of contention of, you're not sure exactly who's pointing fingers at who. But yeah, you know, largely this is a full-time job now where these council members are working, you know, 5 days a week and not, you know, often the weekends too.
And we've been told that if we pay them more, that we would get better quality candidates because now you can actually live on the pay of being a city council member. Has that changed? You think we're getting better candidates?
Well, one of the things that the mayor said defending this, and, you know, he's going to be termed out. He won't be affected by these salaries, whether or not they're changed. But he pointed to the fact that, you know, 10 years ago, council looked very different, you know, demographically than it does now. Only a certain type of person could afford to be on council. And so I think part of it is, you know, quality. But I think another part was really about equity. You know, can a teacher, can a nurse go be a council member? Or, you know, are they just not going to be able to because the salary is too low? That was the real big argument for it. And the three members of council who voted against this salary raise coincidentally happened to be the three attorneys on council. Who have, you know, they have income on the side. a large amount of income on the side as compared to their colleagues.
But they're also, if they're attorneys while they're city council members and they're making, that means they're doing attorney work on the side. So they're not full-time city council members.
Well, you know, I think there are some members of council who would argue that that's the case and who don't like that they do this. And, you know, they're not all, you know, working actively, you know, they're not all have a full-time practice.
Right.
But, you know, they do also have previous income from their time as attorneys that was built up wealth
right.
for them. You know, as they, you know, got their JDs and they did that. But some members of council are, you know, public education teachers. John Courage, Jalen McHugh Rodriguez have been teachers and don't have that same kind of wealth built up.
So, and I saw Manny Pelaez, a District 8 council member, saying, and he voted against it,
right.
as you said, but he's saying they get all these other perks.
Yeah.
In parking and tickets to Spurs games and all these other things. And so he was saying, don't look at the salary, but look at the entire package. And what other perks was he talking about?
Well, yeah. So Councilman Pelaez, who's also, I think it's important to note, running for mayor next year, and who's also termed out of his council seat, he said things like, you know, free box seats for Spurs games, parking wherever you want. You know, kind of that they have these all these like kind of luxury things that a normal San Antonio doesn't have. Now, there's been some pushback against that, and the Express News actually reported on, you know, the veracity of some of these claims. And you've had other members of council, Councilwoman Tara Castillo from District 5, I think she posted a picture on Twitter of her nosebleed seat at a Spurs game where you could see the stains on the roof of the arena, kind of pushing back on some of his claims. And so it's not totally clear. Maybe Councilman Pelaez is getting some of these things or some of his colleagues are, but it's not clear that this is, you know, when you sign the contract, you get these perks as a bonus.
And I also wonder about this salary. So the council increasing council pay to $70,200 per year. And how does that from the current $45,700? So what? How does that $70,000 per year compare to the average income in San Antonio? It seems, it's not a lot of money, you know, but it's probably more than most people get paid in San Antonio, I think.
Yeah, I think it's certainly more than the average individual makes. These salaries were brought about by the average median income for a family of four in San Antonio, according to HUD, according to the federal government. And so this is enough to support support the median household in San Antonio of four people. This $70,000 salary for council members is about 80% of that number. So it's not the full number. So according to HUD, this is average for San Antonio for a family of four.
All right. And so it just seems like who's going to advocate that they need, will they go on a campaign? Who's going to say pay San Antonio City Council members more? Who's going to go out there and persuade the voter to do that?
Well, I don't think anything's been made super clear. And, you know, city council members and the mayor, they cannot campaign for these kinds of things while they're like in their official capacity on the job, on the clock, or on city grounds. But, you know, you had some really vocal advocates like District 2's Councilman McHugh Rodriguez, who really pushed hard for this, saying that, you know, in order for other people like him, a teacher, to be able to get these jobs, they're going to need these kinds of salaries to support their families. So I think I can imagine that he might be one of those people out there.
So we'll see if letters to the editor,
yeah, perhaps
op-eds, maybe coming on the radio to explain what they want to do in their free time, not as a city council member, but as a concerned citizen of San Antonio. Well, let's hear from some concerned citizens of San Antonio. Would you vote for an increase for the city council pay, longer terms, also changes to our city manager situation? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We've got some other city council proposed charter changes coming up right after this break. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be getting an update on the turmoil in Venezuela after a controversial presidential election that the United States says was probably a sham. What happens next for that once wealthy South American nation? Right now, we're talking about charter changes that are proposed for the San Antonio City Charter. The charter is basically the city's constitution. They'll be going to the voters in November, asking you to make some big decisions about changing the charter, and this will directly impact our city council members. And join us in the studio to tell us more is Josh Peck, the Texas Public Radio City Hall reporter. You can call in, tell us if you support the idea of a pay raise for the council members, if you think they have earned it, they deserve it, that they need it, that it will benefit San Antonio to pay our council members more. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Also, they're talking about lengthening the term of office, Josh. What's that about?
Yeah, so that's going to be Proposition F, which would extend the terms for council members and the mayor from two-year terms to four-year terms. Now, they would also be limited to 8 years total in service. But the idea, according to supporters of this from council and the city, is that it'll be more stable governance, and it will also mean that an elected official will have less time campaigning versus governing while they're in office. And so that's kind of the idea for it, and so that's why that'll be up to voters in November.
So how are they going to work that out with some council members have already been in office for a certain number of time, and it seems like that needs to be – something has to could be shaken out.
Yeah, it's an issue for first and third term council members based on how many years they have left in that 8-year total. So what the city came down to as how to solve this is that there are going to be special elections for these seats basically. So to ensure that no one can serve more than 8 years – there'll be, I think, about five or six special elections over the next 10 years, and that everything will be realigned. But that's the way that they're going to do it. So where someone on their third term would win a four-year term and then give it up after 2 years, and then it'd be a special election for a new member. So that's all kind of sorted out. That's not really a problem. I think the real issue for voters is if they want to have their members in office for 4 years or 2 years.
And then after the municipal election in 2025, all the seats will be kind of synced up, and or they would be up in 2029. So that's where we'll be working through by then. We'll see this in place. But I don't understand. So it's been 2 years, and the complaint is like once I get elected, I have to start campaigning immediately in order to get elected again. But the people saying, well, that's how you stay in contact with your with your constituents. It may be tough for you. It may be uncomfortable for you, but this means that you are directly always being in contact and trying to reflect their wishes as a representative. So what's their response to that argument?
I think the response you hear from some folks is that it's not just about, having to campaign so quickly after getting into office, but it's also about, you heard this a lot from the mayor and from Councilman John Courage in District 9, that it's also like, hey, I want to see this policy through. Like, voters elected me to do this thing, and 2 years may just not be enough time to do that. You know, it takes time to learn how government functions, learn how it runs. And so if you have 2 years, then it's going to be a problem. And, also places like District 2, where there's been, before the current council member, Jalen McKee Rodriguez, so much turnover that there's just no stable official for them, elected official. And obviously that's up to voters to decide who they want to represent them. And, that's one of the defenses that these proponents had is that, well, hey, if voters really don't like this person that's in the council seat or in the mayor's office, they can still launch a recall election to get them out early.
Right. But seeing how we've had council members kind of get in trouble, there's been some scandals, and then they refuse to resign or take accountability for what they do. And then so we only have to wait 2 years for that to be rectified by the voters. But now, if they refuse to resign after a scandal or some sort of issue, we're stuck with them for a much longer period.
Unless there's a recall election, which, to be fair, obviously it's a much harder thing to get organized than just going to the polls every 2 years. That currently happens. But that's the big defense that you see is that, well, if there's a real scandal, a real problem with this member, then voters can launch a recall to get them out of office. But some members of council agree with that kind of line of thinking that, well, this is just too long, that we should be answering to the voters every 2 years. And that's why you had a split vote on this item, 8-3 at council.
So the accountability issue is what's going to be before the voters. And we do want to hear from listeners, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you support an increase, if you are opposed to the increase, what do you want to see changes Do you support these charter changes? Call in, let us know. Just tell us what you're thinking, and we want to hear about that. So there was also some talk about trying to do staggering of the council terms so that, like, not all the council members would be on the ballot at the same time, so they would be less subjected to the whims of fads or, you know, the winds of change.
Yeah.
So what happened on that?
Yeah, there was a ton of conversation about staggering terms. It came up over and over, and one of the things that people also were concerned about is that, hey, well, you could elect a whole new slate of council and the mayor. And that could be a problem in terms of just like there's no one knows what was going on, you know, the previous years. Like there's no stable governance. That was one of the real reasons that people pushed to stagger them. But I think the reason that the city ultimately stayed where it was and council decided what they did to keep them concurrent is because there was a concern that whatever council district's elections align with the mayor election, which obviously is a citywide thing, a much higher turnout, it could sway those elections and give them an unfair advantage compared to the lower turnout election in the next cycle where the mayor is not on the ballot.
Now, they're trying to turn back the clock on charter changes that were made for the city managers. Proposition C would undo the limits on the salary and the tenure of the city manager that the voters approved in 2018. I remember that was a big issue that was pushed by the San Antonio Firefighters Associate Union. And with Greg Brockhaus leading that, and it was an attempt to rein in Cheryl Scully when she was the city manager. It was basically directed at her. So now we're seeing what happens. What do they want changed?
So what they want changed is they want the 8-year tenure cap for city managers to be eliminated, and they want the salary cap, which is to tie the city manager's salary to 10 times the lowest paid salaried city employee, to also be removed. And because council says that, you know, hey, we appoint the city manager is extremely important in the system of governance that San Antonio has. And so council needs to be the ones to decide, you know, how much they're paid to kind of woo in, you know, qualified candidates and how long they last. You know, if they say if you have a really great city manager, you want to keep them for as long as possible. And just the fact of having a term limit may keep people from wanting to come to San Antonio to serve the city.
Right. And those were the arguments that were presented when this went to the voters initially in 2018. And so now we're seeing that they want to reverse it, and it'll be interesting how voters vote on that now. We do have an email from a listener, Randall. He says, if a city council person's work is full-time job, then I suggest that they be paid the average San Antonio wage. Paying them more is incentive from a psychological standpoint for them to be disassociated from the constituents that they represent. We see that with the well-to-do in our society, they wall themselves off and they forget about the common person. So it sounds like Randall would be a vote no for voting for this pay increase for the San Antonio City Council. And our phone lines are open if you want to join in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So this is interesting, this Proposition D, about lifting the prohibition on city employees' political activity. So this is something that didn't come from Ron Nirenberg. This had a different sort of line to get to the ballot. Talk about that.
Yeah, so the Charter Review Commission held public meetings where anyone could come and comment about what they were talking about or even other things. And so what you saw was the union that represents municipal employees in San Antonio, AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, they pushed really hard to get a change in the charter to remove this ban. This ban has been in the charter since the 50s, a very different time in San Antonio. And really, it prohibits city employees from engaging in politics outside of their job. You know,
so this means anyone in the city,
right?
Like even if they're a tree trimmer working for the city of San Antonio, they couldn't get involved in politics.
Right. You can't donate money. You can't block walk. You can't work on a campaign. You can't really do much beyond vote.
Is that just for city elections or all elections?
This is just for city elections.
Okay.
And you know, the idea was that, well, you don't want these people in city government who maybe could, you know, put a thumb on the scale inside of government to be also politicking outside of that. But what the union said is that this is really, it's a gag on their First Amendment rights. It prevents them from being like any other San Antonio resident, and that it needs to be removed. And you saw major support for that on council.
Let's go to a caller. We have Edward on the line. Edward, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for the hyper-local news topic. I just wanted to chime in support of the councilman measures, or council person measures. I think they should get paid at least the median. I would love to see this at the state level for our representatives and senators and governors as well. Right now, you have to basically be a rather wealthy person or have a solid passive income to represent a district or take a Senate seat in the state of Texas. And that's simply not representative of we the people.
All right, Edward, thank you for your call. We appreciate hearing your take on that. It would be interesting to see how this works out. So to that point, I'm trying to get to about, you know, what this will look like as we get closer to election day. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really crowded ballot. There's not going to be a lot of brain space for talking about the city charter. We're also talking about who's, you know, the future of our democracy and president and our, you know, should we have Ted Cruz or Colin Allred, who will be our senator? Lots of things to think about. And so when I go vote, and early voting is just 63 days away, will this all be on the same touchscreen machine, or do I have to do anything different?
It'll all be on the same ballot. So as you're scrolling past the president, the Senate, and House, you're going to see these charter amendments on your ballots as well.
And so we'll work through that. And I wonder how that will change, you know, voter turnout. I mean, I've seen how municipal elections are kind of like not really well attended.
Right. And, you know, they're in May. They're on off years. Yeah.
Yeah, but and so when people may go to the polls and they hadn't heard about this because mm-hmm. they're not, you know, desperate news consumers like you and I, and they may be caught off guard and not really well informed about this. I mean, I guess we've got to figure out a way to get this in front of voters and make them aware of this.
That's certainly true. And I think the city is probably going to do a full court press on this in the next several months. Obviously, like you mentioned, extremely crowded political environment to try to get these, you know, city government issues through.
I'm going to try and get Paul on because he just called in. We're short on time. But, Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a very strong supporter of more council pay. In fact, I think they should pay commensurate to the city commissioners. However, I disagree with some of the other positions of your guest. Number one, I think we need to leave, for the moment at least, term limits where they are. I think it's a good idea that city employees not be prohibited. You run the risk that some of them get strong-armed into working into campaigns. And finally, there's other reforms that need to happen, particularly as regards councilmen, the mayor. I would much rather see a much stronger mayor, much stronger council system, that they have more control of the budget, that council people have more ability to put items on the agenda. That's kind of in the weeds stuff. I'm sure your guest is familiar with these, but there's a lot of issues about this idea that we have this supervisory board with this professional staff, which I think may have been a good idea in the 50s, but today we need folks who are responsible to the electorate setting more policy.
Well, thank you, Paul, for the call. So term limits remain the same, right?
The term limit would be the same, 8 years total, but the actual terms themselves would be 4 years instead of 2 years.
Right, and so we'll be coming back to this as we get closer to election date. I mean, things are really going to be kicking up speed pretty quickly because, as I said, early voting, 63 days away, a lot of election stuff happening. We're trying to educate our listeners more and give them more opportunities to call in and tell us what they're thinking. And Josh Peck, thank you for giving us an update, fact-based, non-biased view of what's going to be happening with these charter amendments. We really appreciate that. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me on.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about Venezuela, the latest on the South American country's turmoil. Stay with us.